about 2 weeks, and then life happens, and that's about the way it is. Well, the Bible talks a lot about setting goals, making plans. In Proverbs chapter 6, it tells us the example of an ant, that an ant works hard. It works in the summer. It works in the fall, so it can have enough food to last through the wintertime. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit." It's important to set goals. I personally do that. I personally, every time a new year comes around, it's kind of a new start. What do I want to accomplish this year? What didn't I accomplish last year? Can I make some adjustments? And to look forward to it, to set a goal, to plan to do something, to put it on my calendar. But we got to be careful, because the book of James says to be careful about making your plan, saying, "I'm going to do this and this and this tomorrow. I'm going to go here. I'm going to do that." And then God says, "Hey, sorry, that's not the plan." In other words, God has a bigger plan than we have. So what we have to do is we have to say, "You know what? I'm going to plan something. But you know what? God's in control. If he wants to do something different, I'm okay with that." And we need to hold our plans very loosely, but we still need to make some plans. So I'm going to look through the Bible, some Bible verses, and see some ideas, and actually share with you some of the mistakes that I've made in my life about setting goals, New Year's resolutions, whatever you want to call them. So open your Bible, please, first of all, to Philippians chapter 3, and we're just going to look at some principles about setting goals. And I hope you will. I hope you'll make a goal. Here's the problem. It is. The problem is that maybe at one time in our life, maybe when we were young, maybe when we were energetic, maybe you're not there yet, maybe you're just, you know, beginning in life, but what do you want to accomplish? Football teams set goals for the team. We're going to make the playoffs. We're going to get above 500. We're going to be a champion. In other words, they make goals. They so that the team can go forward. So what I want us to do is just look and see about some goals that we might make. The first thing I want you to think of is focus on fewer goals. Don't focus on so many. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. This is what it says. This is Paul speaking. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." In other words, I haven't gotten there yet. "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is when he goes on high and he gets his prize. He says, there's one thing I'm doing, is I am looking forward to the time when God rewards me. I'm doing one thing. The mistake that I have made in setting goals, in setting New Year's resolutions, I want to do too many things. I set a goal for my physical life. I set a goal for my mental life. I set a goal for my family. I set a goal for work. I set a goal for personal. I've got this and this and this and this, and I want to do all these things. And the problem is because I have so many areas, and we all do, I have so many areas that I need to see improvement. I need to improve this, and I need to improve this. I need to quit doing this. I need to start doing this. I need to act better here. And I need to be more involved here. And so pretty soon we begin to have all these things that we want to do. And surveys have shown the more goals you have, the less goals you accomplish. As a matter of fact, the more you have, the less you do to begin with. One study even went so far as to say that if you have over 10 goals, and I know that sounds like a lot, but you know, when you think about it, I want to lose 10 pounds, I want to start reading my Bible, I want to do this. If you have more than 10, the chances are you won't make any of them, because you're just too distracted. You need to focus. You need to look. And what Paul says is there's one thing I want to do. And again, surveys have shown that when you have one or two goals and you set a time limit, and you know when you're going to be able to achieve that goal, you're more than likely to make that goal. Again, and so my encouragement is, don't have so many goals. Just have one. And what sometimes they call them WIGs in the business world. wildly important goals. Something that if you accomplish that one thing, it doesn't matter what else you do, you have succeeded. That one thing. If you know what, if I can get that done, it doesn't matter what else I fail in. That's the one thing I do. Or you can look at it the opposite way. If I don't do that, it doesn't matter what else I accomplish. If I don't finish that, if I don't do that, if I don't get that done, all the other things that I plan, you know what? They're not going to be worth anything. But that one thing I want to accomplish, set the goal. You can bring other, what I would call sub-goals, underneath that. But think about that one thing, that most important thing that you want to do, and focus on that. We'll talk a little bit more. So focus on fewer goals. And then I want you to look in Luke chapter 14. We're going to discover the second one. Luke chapter 14. Concentrate on what you can do. Concentrate on what you can do. This is the second area that I fail. Concentrate on what you can do. Luke chapter 14 and verse 28, this is Jesus talking. He's talking about making a plan. He's talking about expecting to do something. He says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" You're going to build a building, or you're going to buy a car, you're going to do something here, you're going to build a tower. He said, what kind of a fool would plan to build a building and not sit down first and see that he has enough that he has to get it finished? You don't want to build half a tower. You don't want to get three quarters of the way and say, oops, ran out of money, ran out of material, ran out of time, it's over with. And in the area of planning, what you want to be able to do is, you know what? I have a goal. Do I have enough? Can I do this goal? Here's the mistake I make. I plan a goal that the only way I can get that goal is if I have other people helping me, or if that goal is out of my control. Let me throw this out to you, okay? And this is what we do. Number one New Year's resolution, what do you think it is? Lose weight, by far, okay? Number one. And so what happens is we say, I want to lose 10 pounds. Let's just say that. Let's just throw that out there. I want to lose 10 pounds this year. You can't control that, really. Let's just be honest. How many of you have ever been on a diet and you thought you were doing really good and you stepped on the scale and you weighed more? I mean, you had salad. You had low cal, you drank water, you skipped the cookie, you went out for a walk, and you step on the scale, you're not in control of the scale, okay? And then how many of you, and I know this isn't much, but how many of you have stepped on the scale and you go, shh, it's not worth it, and then you decide to skip a day of work, you ate an extra cookie, and you step on the scale, and you weigh the same amount? How does that work? Your weight is a little bit out of your control. Yes, you have a little bit of control in it in some ways. You have to spend more energy than take in more food. But the best thing to do is, what can you do for the weight? You know what? One thing I can do, I can go out for a walk every day. I can do that. I might not be able to control how much I weigh, but you know what? I can walk. You know what? I'm going to give up pop. I'm going to quit drinking pop. And you know what? I'm going to do that. I can control that. I don't have to worry about anybody else. I don't have to worry about a scale. And you know what? And here's what happens is, because sometimes our goal, here's my goal. You know what? I want our church, here's my goal. I want our church to run 300 by the end of the year. Guess what? That's out of my control. I can't control it. The only two people, I don't even know if I control her or not. The only two people that I have control of to a degree, and that's my wife and I. So if I am depending on it, I have to depend on everybody else to show up, and I have to depend on everybody else to invite, and even the people we invite, how many have we invited? So you know what? That's out of my control. But you know what I can do? I can invite somebody. That's one thing I can do. I can say, you know what? I'm going to invite 10 people every week. I'm going to invite 20. You know, in other words, my goal should be, what can I do? Now, my goal may be to lose 10 pounds, but I need to look at, what can I do to accomplish that goal? What is 100% in my realm? Maybe your goal is to make more money. Maybe your goal is to finish college. A lot of that, some of that is kind of out of your control, but you know what you can do? You can say, you know what? I'm going to be at work on time. I'm going to put my application in for another job. I want to do what can I do to reach those goals? So concentrate, count the cost. What is it going to cost me to get to that goal? Third thing, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn there, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 14, you need to keep score. If you're going to reach a goal, you need to keep the score. You need to know where you're at. So you need to keep score. Verse 14, Paul's opening up. We did this back a year ago. We looked at the whole book of 1 Corinthians, but I just want to kind of major on this. Verse 14, he talks to the Corinthians. He says, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. Verse 16, I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. Paul's keeping track of what he's doing. He's keeping track. He says, you know what? I've been called to preach the gospel. I baptized a few people, but you know what? I'm keeping track of what I'm doing. I'm keeping track of what I'm not doing. I'm keeping score. I know where I'm at. I know what I'm doing. And that's one thing that we really need to do, is just keep track, keep score of where we're at. What would happen in college if they really didn't keep score in sports? And there really weren't any winners or losers. Would it be fun? No. Because there's something about winning a game and knowing where you're at. I've seen so many times where the quarterback didn't keep track of the time, didn't realize what the score of the game was. Outfielders on a baseball team didn't realize where the players are. You need to know where you're at. And so keep score. So wherever you're heading to, know where you're at. Know how far away from the goal is, what you need to accomplish. And sometimes you do need to adjust the goals. Sometimes you may not be able to get to where that goal was. Don't be discouraged. Sometimes you can adjust your goal to be able to help it. But keep score of where you're at. That, honestly, even though it can be disappointing, that's why losing weight, the best thing to do is just to get up on the scale every day. Do it in the morning. You weigh less in the morning, okay? Do it before you drink water. You know, don't even take a shower. That might gain, you know, a little bit of weight. You know, just kind of say that and just go, oh, my, you know, or whatever. But keep score. Know where you're at. Now, last one, and we're gonna adjust. I'm not done with my sermon yet, so don't get up excited. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 27, be accountable. Be accountable. 1 Corinthians 9, 27, Paul says, but I keep under my body, bring my actions, bring what I do. I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You need to hold yourself accountable. The great Apostle Paul says, you know what? I need to be really careful. I need to be really careful because I could drift. And I will drift if I'm not careful about what I do. And you need to hold yourself accountable. Some of us are a little more personal, private than others. And we're really good at keeping ourselves accountable. In other words, we wake ourselves up. We're conscientious about that. Others have a tendency. We need others around us. And that's why God, even at the very beginning, when Adam was there, he said one thing in his creation that was not good, and that is to be alone. We need an accountability partner. For many of us, we have a life accountability partner, and oh, do they hold us accountable for everything we do. But we have an accountability partner. God puts people in groups. When Jesus came to revolutionize the world, he didn't do it. He did it one at a time, but he brought him into a group. It's important that we have group accountability. I have a good friend who, and I don't want to get on to this, but this is the number one thing that people do. I have a good friend of mine, a good pastor friend of mine, John Riley. He was in Weight Watchers 3 or 4 times. And so he would be in Weight Watchers, and he would start losing the weight. And he'd say, you know what, I can do this on my own. And so he quit going to Weight Watchers. And you know what happened? He just went right back to the weight he was. And finally, he said, you know what? I am going to stay in this until I get there because I need the group. I need people. I need people to help me, encourage me, challenge me. Christianity is not a private institution. No matter how private, personal you are, your Christian life, your life, you may not know you need each other, but you need other people. That is why we have Sunday school. That is why we have small groups that get together. That is why we have Bible studies. That is why we have mission teams that do things together. Because you cannot do it on your own. If you think you can, number one, you either don't know or you are disregarding Scripture. Because the Bible says we need each other. Or maybe you think you understand your own heart and your own motives and you don't need anybody to keep you accountable. Maybe that's the other thing, is you don't want to be accountable. Here's what I've discovered. If I'm doing something and I don't want somebody telling me what to do, I just stay away from them. Because if I stay away from them, they won't make me feel guilty and I'll be able to do what I want to do without them telling me or putting me where I want to be. But you know what? For me to say straight, I need other people. And maybe we may think that we are the essence of all human wisdom. And so we know how to run our life. But you know what? We're not. We were not only made to have a relationship with God, we were given a relationship with God so we could have a relationship with each other. You may not know it, you may not understand it, you may not see the value, but you need other people. And so we need to hold each other accountable in the goals that we set, in the life that we live, in what we want to do. Now, I just want to share this morning, it's the beginning of 2019, I want to share with you the goal of Faith Baptist Church. A couple of years ago, I set a 2020 goal. You know, when you have perfect vision, you're supposed to have 2020 vision. Well, next year is going to be 2020, so I kind of set this 2020 vision. I have adjusted it because some things have changed. We're not as far along as I thought we might be, so I've adjusted it. So I have the updated vision 2020. You don't have it yet, but on your way out, if the ushers want to hand these out when you go out, you'll have it. So let me read this. This is where I think we'll be in 2020, fall of 2020. It's a beautiful fall Sunday in 2020. It's 10:30 in the morning, and we've started our second packed service of the day. The new parking lot with modern lighting is comfortably full. Attendants greet people as they enter. The new LED sign out front lets passersby know what is happening at Faith Baptist. People arrive early to get a good seat, but they aren't sitting down. They're greeting guests, welcoming visitors, laughing with friends, enjoying coffee and smoothies at the new Connection Cafe in the expanded church lobby. Parents are chasing their children down the hall to the new classrooms and children's activity game area. A full band and orchestra is warming up, playing familiar hymns with a contemporary twist. Today, it's Amazing Grace on the saxophone. This weekend, over 500 will worship at Faith Baptist Church in 2 Sunday services, but even more will watch and interact on the live stream in the gym and at home. The worship service opens with enthusiastic, passionate singing to contemporary and age-old hymns. Everybody joins in. It's not the style, but the fervor that makes the music the best in town. Music, testimonies, announcements, and videos have been quality produced to enhance the worship experience. The pastor presents a Bible-based, relevant, principled message. Many respond for prayer, with 5 getting baptized. There will be over 50 baptized this year, and over 100 make their public profession of faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And it's not just the worship service that has grown. During Sunday school, Sunday evening, and throughout the week, 300 youth and adults meet in 20 different small groups to learn, serve, and just live life together. Awana has over 100 every week, and the teens have two nights to make room for over 100 junior high and high school students. Faith Baptist is a congregation that reaches into the community through Love Linaway. Because of our own story, firefighters, business leaders, senior citizens, college students, medical personnel, military veterans, the mentally impaired, and Prairie Elementary School staff, students, and families have been appreciated and loved this year. The missions family has grown to 75 missionaries and projects. Missions giving is $150,000 annually, and the church budget is $500,000 annually. We know and love our missionaries. Faith Baptist is a passionate, fun, exciting, growing, is full of friends who follow and lead others to follow Christ. Faith Baptist is a place where every week just keeps getting better because in the future, Jesus deserves better. He deserves better Christianity than we gave him in the past. To everyone who enters our doors, we simply say, welcome home. It's the first thing I said to Chris when he came, Chris and the family, welcome home. Are we going to reach it? I have no idea. It's a goal. And so I want to kind of go back through these goals really quickly to say, what can we do to reach that? So going back, we're not going to, I don't know if you want to go through the slides or not, but let's just kind of go through the back. Focus on fewer goals. There's a lot of things we could look at. We could look at everything, but I just want us to do one thing. If there is one thing as a church that if we accomplish it, it doesn't matter what else we do, it's worth it. For a Christian, that's an obvious answer. Maybe we didn't think about it, but the obvious answer is that people receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It doesn't matter how much money we make. It doesn't matter how healthy we are. If a person doesn't have Jesus Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior, it doesn't matter. And we could have 500, and we could have a full orchestra, and we could have twice as many buildings as we have right now, and we could look successful, but if people aren't coming to Christ, it doesn't matter what we have. And let me just be honest. I have goals, but if in 2020 we're running 100 instead of 200, and we had to quit many of the ministries because we just don't have the money or the people, but some people are getting saved. I am serious. I would want to be more, but it doesn't matter. Because 100 years from now, it won't matter the size of our church or the quality of anything that we do. What will matter is that people have received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's it. And as we leave this place, we want to energize ourselves here. So as we leave this place, we do one of two things. We either invite somebody to come to church so they can hear about Jesus, or two, we tell them about Jesus ourselves. And so that's what I want to challenge you to do. So here's the goal for next year. This year we had 35. We didn't make it. We had seven baptized, which salvation and baptism. Next year we want to see 25. 25 people receive Jesus Christ as their own Lord and Savior and be baptized. And so what you can do, you, if you want to, is you end up inviting people to come to church. Or you tell people. In the back of the bulletin, you'll notice it even challenges you to do that. It says, to accomplish our 2019 goal of 25 baptized, I will share the gospel. How many times, either a week or a month? Now, some of you are not up there yet. But would you challenge yourself to share the gospel with a certain number of people so many times? Once a week? Once a month? Twice? However it is. And then we have these invite cards. We've been doing this now for quite a while. On the front, it just invites them to church, and on the back, it tells them how to have a relationship with God and answer a lot of spiritual questions that they may have. This is something that we can invite people to come to church. And so you just go up to people and you say, hey, you can go up to a perfect stranger. Rick's not a stranger, but you can just say, hey, I want to invite you out to our church. Be a good place. And on the back, there's a website. You can get some answers to a lot of questions. Thanks, Rick. This guy's name tag. I knew who it was. And so that's as simple as it can be. And if we can do that, that would be great. The second thing going along is concentrate on what you can do. We we can't get people saved. We can't have people, that's out of our control. But the one thing we can do is we can invite and we can tell. So I just want to challenge you to invite and tell. Keep score. I have this. We keep score of baptisms already. That's a public profession of faith. People get baptized. And we've had this. I'll talk about it here in a little bit. This is kind of a scoreboard. Last week we had 19. I don't know how many we're going to have this week. To how many people have we invited to come to church? So every week this is going to be out in the front. And if you went and you said, you know what, I invited five people. I passed out five cards to invite five different people. Just come up here, scribble this off, or make an X and put that you did three or four. And then we're actually going to put each other in teams. We're going to have teams to hold each other accountable, to get to know each other and to do it. We're going to do it at different times. If there is anything we can do this year, the best thing that we can do is personally tell somebody about Jesus. Just tell them what God has done in our life and encourage them to do the same. And then just invite them to church. It's a simple thing, but all the other things, it's so easy to become distracted with all the other things. We have Sunday school. We have Awana. We have different ministries. We do this and we do that, and we have music and everything. But you know what? All those other things are wonderful. But the point of what we're here for is for our encouragement so we can go out and tell people that don't know about Jesus how to receive him as their own personal Lord and Savior. In the bulletin, you also have kind of a way that you can set up one of your own goals of what you want to do. But I just want to encourage you to set a goal for the Lord, to set a goal for the church. What can I do to help my church reach more people for Jesus Christ? And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, I just want to be very honest with you. No matter what you accomplish in life, the best thing that you will ever do is something so simple. It is to receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. Because you could lose all the weight you want. You could make all the money you want. You could be the happiest person in the world. But that's only going to last a while. Receiving Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior will last forever. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I just want you to think about, what does God want you to do this year? What does God want you to do right now? If you've never received Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. That's something you could never have done. But he did it for you. And if you will receive him, if you will surrender your life to Jesus and say, Jesus, here I am. I need you. Will you take me? Jesus said that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Give your life to Jesus. He gave his life for you. And if you're here and you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've got him. There are so many people that don't have him. So many people don't even know. They think going to church will give them a step up to get to heaven. It doesn't. We need to share that message, or at least invite people. What does God want you to do? In a few minutes, Barbara's just going to play through a song, and I'll be right down here in the front if you want to talk to me. If you want to just come and pray. And maybe this first Sunday of the year, you just want to commit this year to God. Say, God, this is a good year. I don't know what's going to happen, but there's some things I want you to do through me. Give the year to God. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and caring for us enough to send your son to die on a cross. Thank you that you've given us a new year. There are so many people that you took away from us this past year. They're not here. Father, we have this year. Help us to live this year for you. May we serve you the best we can. If there's one here, Lord, that doesn't know your son as their Savior, may they receive Jesus, best thing they've ever done. But those of us who know Jesus as our own personal Lord and Savior, may we live for you. May we set those wildly important goals. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.